I have never preached out of this text in the 12 years that I've been here. And it's one of the most famous stories in all of Scripture. You learn this as one of the very first stories in Sunday school as a child. And the Lord has opened my heart up to some things that I want to share with you and leave with you today, and believe that there is a word for many of us today in this incredible story. There is a mystery side to God's will. There is a known will of God, which He reveals Himself through His Word, and we know that it is His will for us to be obedient to His Word. How many would say that's true? That is God's will. We know that what He says in His Word that you and I are to do, that is His will for our life. But there are times when His will is somewhat mysterious. It will probably remain mysterious until we actually see Him face to face, when, if you will, the veil that is before us that we see through darkly will be obliterated, and we will see Him as He is, and all things will become very clear at that moment. Some of you feel like you have a lot of questions that you want to ask God. And when you see Him, most all the questions will be answered, because you will recognize a truth of Scripture that has always been true, that His ways are higher than His ways, and His ways and His will is best. However He wants to demonstrate that in our lives, His will is always what is best for us. Do you believe that? That He has your best interest at heart. He desires the best for you. But sometimes in the middle of things, we don't always see that. And the question, by way of title this morning, is this really God's will? Is this really God's will? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about by the question, because you find yourself today in a situation you're going, this can't be. Is this God's will for my life? Am I going through this as a part of God's plan for me? So anyway, I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to pick up on verse 16. This is the great story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes. Starting with 16th verse, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, who had ordered them, by the way, to worship and bow down to the image, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Basically saying, oh, we have no hesitation at all. We know how we want to answer you. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king stoned, or really means he was dazed, or he was astonished. and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? The answer they said to the king, only three. And then in verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt and no form, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What a story. What an incredible story. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. I like that word, hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon their bodies. The fire had no power, nor was there a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. That is an incredible story. Lord, anoint your word to our hearts. Give us ears to hear and give us eyes to see what your Spirit desires to say to us. And may we be open. May we put into our life actions these words today. In Jesus' name, amen. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these were men of faith, great faith. They were men of God. And they make a statement that God is able. It's a statement that you and I love to gravitate to. We love the fact that we serve a God who is able. Who is able, and able to do what? Well, here, able to deliver. That he will deliver. We serve, they're saying we serve the Lord. They practice their faith. And the God that we serve is a God who can and is able to deliver. And the choice here, by the way, they did not choose the fiery furnace. They chose not to bow down and worship the idol. The consequences of that choice was the pronouncement that they were going to be thrown into the fire. But by the way, these men are not nuts. I mean, really. Oh, yeah, we want the fire. That's why we're here for. No. No, we're not going to bow down. And there's an important distinction there. They would not bow down. You and I, by the way, are called in this day to not bow down to the idols of this world. We are not running an opinion poll on what we should believe and should not believe. I'm not testing the waters to see if something is okay or not okay. We are not doing public opinion polls to say, is this okay to do? We are not looking to the Supreme Court to make decisions on how and what we believe. Are you with me on this? We believe his word. We stand on his word. And I don't know what that makes us, but I'm going to stay to this. I'm not going to try to test the waters to see what you like and don't like. We are going to keep preaching God's word. We are not going to compromise God's word. We are not going to bow down. We're not going to do it. Now, I hope you're not going to do it, but I can tell you the pull is strong. It is strong. Who would have believed that we would that the church would be in the state that it's in even from 30 years ago? We have bought in to a large degree. At some point in time, we have, and now is the time, we got to stand up on his word. We cannot bow down. But the world is wanting us to bow down. And these guys, they chose not to bow down and worship the idol. And as a consequence, they were thrown into this fiery furnace. And they make a statement that God is able. This is something I love because I want to, this will preach, by the way. God is able, and I could start rambling on what God is able to do this morning, and I could get us shout, maybe even do a Jericho march this morning. God is able, whoo, 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 whoo. We could do all that stuff. I could do some somersaults for you and get you all. That wouldn't be me, though. How many know that? My mustache wouldn't like that either, so... But we could do that, and we love the fact, the truth that God is able. But we forget there's a word that comes after the fact that God is able that some of us struggle with, and that is the phrase, but if not. But if not. But if not. Are you with me on this so far? You're tracking with me. Good. But if not, there are two sides to faith. God is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. We are people of faith who believe. We believe in the healing power of God to deliver. We believe in the healing power of God to restore, to reconcile. He is able, and we shout it, and we believe it. But if not, is the other side. Well, Pastor, don't go there. That's negative talk. I can't even believe that these guys would say, but if not. Where is their faith here? But if not. And we have even, I think, some poor teaching on this subject matter that we have not really wanted to realize or understand, or we feel a little bit guilty when we add that phrase, but if not. But it's an important part of faith. In fact, it is a real big part of faith. And there is always that element. God is able to heal, to do the miraculous, but if not. But if not. And people don't want to deal with that because I guess to some people it's a sign of a lack of faith or weak faith. Some people go, no, 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 I'm entitled to his deliverance the way I want it. I'm entitled to, when I pray in a certain way, I'm entitled for God to deliver me from. And we don't want to bring any negativity. I was asked, it's been a number of years ago now, I was asked to leave a hospital room one time. Because I was asking questions about what the doctors were saying. We don't want that negativity here. We're not listening to what the doctors are saying. We need this room to be faith to be expressed that God will heal and deliver. So I was asked not to pray because I guess I didn't have the faith or by the fact that I mentioned what the doctors may say. Let me tell you something, as your pastor, I believe that God is the healer, that he is the restorer. I believe that, and yet I want you to know that there is the reality that if not, what are you going to do but if not? Maybe God has something different that he wants to do, a better plan. Oh, no. No, I won't accept anything that's anything less than the way I want it. And that's the way some people operate. They will not admit, but if not. You know, it's interesting. I guess we ignore the fact that when Jesus was in the garden, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, what? But if not. But if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is faith. That is an element of faith. So, but if not. But what do you do when the but if not enters your world? What do you do? What do you do when God seemingly does not show up? When God doesn't extinguish the flames of the furnace before you are thrown in, what do you do? How do you respond? And if you look at that phrase, what he's saying, and I love, by the way, the message. I don't have the quote from the message, but in essence, it explains what is meant by but if not. What they are really saying is, It is not going to make any difference one way or another as to who I am going to worship. That's what it says, literally. It's not going to make any difference. God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, or he may not deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if not, simply means it's not going to matter on who I am going to serve. I am going to follow God. I am going to serve him. I'm going to be, if he doesn't answer another prayer that I pray, I am going to live for him. I'm going to serve him with all my heart. In fact, as we have just celebrated the work of the cross, he doesn't owe us anything else. He has done enough. But if not, I am going to serve God. I know you're going to do it. If he doesn't answer your prayers the way you want, but it ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. I'm believing for a miracle. Yes, I'm standing on his word that he heals and does the miraculous in my day. But if not, it's not going to matter. I'm going on. I'm going through. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to walk this walk of faith. And I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying for the miracles. I'm going to keep believing God to do what I've asked him to do. But if not, I'm still going to follow him. I'm still going to serve him. Oh, man. That's what it means. But if not, and do not say that that is showing any kind of lack of faith. Because to me, the greater faith is when God chooses not to take away the fiery furnace. And you say, I'm still living for God. That is incredible faith. And if you look at Hebrews, the great faith chapter, many of those people gave their lives. They were beaten and torn and children killed. And what does it say? They did not receive the promise here, but it was accredited to them. Their faith was accredited to them as righteousness. They were a group of people there in Hebrews that said, but if not, we are not going to bow down. It's not going to make any difference. Whatever you want to do to us, you can hurt us, I guess, but we're still going to follow God and we're going to worship God. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep going on in faith. I'm going to keep believing with all my heart. And when we don't get what we expect from God, it's not going to make any difference in my walk with God. I'm going to keep on keeping on. A lot of Christians don't get this today. Some believe that God's purpose is to keep us out of every trouble, that he is to deliver us from. And God doesn't always act in that way. Why should it not matter to us whether he takes the fiery furnace away or not? I want to give you the reason why it doesn't matter. Because if you look down in verse number 25, this is the reason why it does not matter. He says in verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The reason why it does not matter is because God will be in the fire with you. Hello. He will be there with you. Hello. That's why it doesn't matter the first part. Because he will be, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. For what reason? For thou art with me. In the valley of the shadow of death, you will find him. In the fiery furnace, he will not forsake you. He will be there with you. God is in the midst of the fire. He's in the midst of the fire. And hear this. He did not deliver them from the fire. He rescues them in the fire. Oh, this is incredible. And I look back, and this just exploded within my spirit. I look back at all the times in my life when things didn't happen the way I had prayed for them to happen. And I felt so abandoned and disappointed. Oh God, what are you doing? And you abandoned me. I want to testify today that I look back now and he was in the midst of my trouble. He was in the midst of my fire. He had never left me. But you know, some people are bothered because they really believe that a relationship with God is to he is called now to remove all of our obstacles and our issues. That somehow life is meant to be that he delivers us from. He, by the way, will deliver us from. But when he doesn't deliver us from, he will deliver us in. And he will deliver you in that issue. By the way, he is going to deliver you one way or another. That's why it doesn't make any difference whether it be in the fire or from the fire. He is a deliverer. He will come through for you. He is in the fire. He is in the fire. And he chose not to deliver them from the fire, but he rescues them in the fire. And sometimes we want a God who delivers us from, but there are some times that he chooses to rescue us in and deliver us within. And I love the picture here. By the way, the Bible didn't do this part of the story very well recently. I was a little disappointed, but that's neither here nor there. It says they were walking in the fire. You know, I love the picture of this. They are not stationary. They're not sitting down. They're not having a pity party. They are walking in the fire. Do you walk in your fires? Or do you just become paralyzed by the issue that you're facing? Do you just become immobile? What am I going to do now? Can I tell you, he wants you to walk in your fire. God wants you to walk as he's walking with you. He doesn't want you just to sit there. He wants to walk with you in the fire. But you got to walk. You got to get up and move. He can direct you when you move. He can't direct you when you're stationary. And here we have this beautiful picture that they're walking in the fire. They are walking in the fire and God is walking with them and he walks with us. Shadrach, Meshach, Shach, and Abednego, they saw the moving presence of God. They saw him moving. He wasn't stationary. He was moving with them. This would be, by the way, and here get maybe the reason why he doesn't deliver us from sometimes is because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never got to experience the moving presence of God. Had he delivered them from, there would have been no need. But now they are in the fire. And the son, as Nebuchadnezzar would say, the fourth looks like the Son of God. He is walking with them. They are watching the manifested presence of God walking. They would have never got to experience that had he had delivered them from. That's a good. That's good news for you. He will not leave you. He's walking with you. And if you're walking, by the way, if you're not walking, it's going to be a problem. When Nebuchadnezzar, he says, come out. If you're not walking, you know, you walked in. They threw them in, but they are now walking, so it's easy for them to walk out of the fire. What you walk out of the fire. You walk into a different world. They walked into a different place. They walked into a better environment. Why? Because the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same God that you and I serve, was proven to be the one and only God. So they walk out into a different world. People are going to listen to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego now. And fact is, they are immediately promoted. But had not there been a fire, had he delivered them from that, they would have never known the better place that God had for them. He says, I see four men loose. By the way, they were loose. They went in bound, and now they are loose. Some people believe that it was the fire that burned off the bondage. I don't believe it was because there was absolutely no smell on them. I just believe that Father God unbound them. It's interesting that in your fire is a time that God can loose you as well. You stay true to God in the midst of the fire, and He desires to loose you from that which has you bound. Had He not done that, they would not have been walking in the fire. But what does He do first? He loosed them from the things that had them bound. That's the nature of fires in our lives today. God wants to free us from that which binds us and brings bondage to us. God would loose those things that would have you bound in the fire. By the way, fires are not all bad. And the more you read this story, the more I say, Lord, not that I like fires, but man, there is a dimension of you that I would have never known had I not gone through the fire. In verse 27, it says, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king and counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire, and you need to circle this, the fire had no power. The fire had no power. So many times, and you and I are products of our life experiences, no doubt. And this past week, there was a former, well, I guess he was going to be a football player. He had been falsely accused of a crime. He was in prison for the last 5 years. Prison for a crime that he did not commit. And he was this week signed by the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know whether he will play much or not, but I listened to an interview. And he kept saying something about his fire, if you will. He says, my fire and the false accusations against me are not going to define who I am. Does your fires, the things that you've gone through, do they define who you are? I hope not, because it says that they didn't even smell the smell of fire on them. Some of us have walked in life with the smell of the fires that we've experienced. And the smell, by the way, it's not that I am not sympathetic, because I've been through fires as well. But we failed, if you will, to experience the deliverance that God wanted to bring in our lives because we were upset that He did not deliver us from the fire. So we leave the fire. By the way, the fire is going to pass, but I'm afraid that some of us still have the smell of that which has beaten us up and bruised us, and we have become angry over. We smell with the fire of our life. God doesn't want you to smell with that. He doesn't want you to be bound by your past. He doesn't want you to be defined by the experiences of your fire. He has a better plan for your life. He wants, in fact, what does He do with our sin? It says that He washes us with hyssop, that we become as white as snow. If you smell with the stench of sin today, it's not because God has not provided a way to wipe away that stench. You can be free today. You don't have to be defined by the fires of your life. Be defined by the fact that God was with you in the fire. He brought you through it. He taught you the things that He wanted to teach you. He showed a dimension of Himself that you would have never known had it not been for that fire. And you leave into a different environment to change your environment. You're going to be better off. Let me tell you something. The will of God, that mystery side, if He has you go through the fire, it's the best thing you could do, and not a second. Sometimes we think, well, the fire, that's plan B. Can I tell you, sometimes God's fire in our lives, when He doesn't answer the prayers the way we want Him to, He doesn't deliver us, we think that must be second best. God's plan, whether it's delivering you from the fire or delivering you in the fire, whichever He chooses is going to be what is best for you. Will be best for you. You will come out, hopefully, refined. By the way, I love the fact that fire is a purifying agent. doesn't say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever experienced another moment like this. But it all began when they said, we will not bow down. We will not bow down to your and worship you and the image you have created. We will not bow down. And in the midst of being obedient, in the midst of not compromising. By the way, that would be, you put yourself in their position. And maybe we are, as a church, coming to that position again. I trust that some of you called your legislatures this week. We've been on the phone this week. Them imposing things. But, you know, I would imagine that our country, because now we are moving so far from God, that the attack on the church will continue. I've asked you this question before. That wonderful tax deduction that you get on your taxes is going to be taken away someday. You're not going to have that. But I suspect that there's a people here who says, you know, that doesn't matter. We're not going to compromise. We're going to stand up on His Word, and I'm still bringing to the storehouse of God. I'm going to believe God. Can I tell you, it will open up the floodgates when we allow God and not bow to the pressures. But I can tell you, there is a pull today. There is a pull to become a thinking outside of God's Word. I want to go on record to say this. God's Word has not changed. It is the same as He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are going to live our lives on this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, my God, our God, is able to deliver. But if not, and it's not going to matter, we are going to serve the Lord. We are going to worship Him only. And what does Nebuchadnezzar do at the end of the story? He says to all the people, in so many words, paraphrase, don't mess with the God of Abraham, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't mess with their God, because He is true. May that be said of us. Bow your heads with me this morning.